Formula Access. This week, I'm going to change gears on you just a smidge. We actually recorded this episode quite a while back, and I'm finally getting through all of the episodes that I recorded at the end of last year. And I'm bringing you a racer. You guys, drivers are some of the most fascinating people to come on the show. They always have amazing stories. They just have very, very different attitudes. Today, we're going to bring you Aliyah Kolick. She is from Saudi Arabia. She has raced in the 2023 Dakar Rally. We all know that from Fernando Alonso. It's an incredible race full of incredible people. She was actually a referral by a publicist that we had on the show, and she had kindly asked Aliyah to come on the show. This was her first episode. She, at the time, was 18 years old. It's her first podcast. She was very, very nervous, but she was a champ, and she handled herself well. You guys, she is the most humble, just sweet, authentic racer that you will come across. Anyone chasing a career in motorsports, this is definitely an episode for you to tune into. Enjoy. Formula Access, welcome. I told you I'd be bringing people from motorsports to your doorstep, and I am extending my reach even further. We are stepping outside of our general Formula series. We're stepping out of IndyCar, and we are jumping into an entirely different world. That's motorsports and racing. We have a very, very special guest, a very, very special young person coming on the show by the name of Aliyah Kolick. I actually met her through another guest who does publicity, and she just wouldn't stop talking about this young driver and said that I had to have her on the show. And I love talking to race car drivers. So they're a different breed of human. They have a different type of energy, and they are like the new Top Gun fighter pilots. So always an interesting conversation, always amazing humans. I'm so excited. Aliyah, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
It is so cool to have you. I have kind of two general philosophies in this show, and you know, one is to bring people into the world of motorsports because nobody really understands how everything works. They don't get it at all. You know, they understand you drive around a track here, but they don't understand, you know, what that life is like. And the second one is educating young people on how to get into motorsports and what that world looks like, because everybody wants to be something. And I think the difference between them and you is you need to be a racer. They want to be a racer. And I think, you know, when you tell your story, you allow them to see your passion, you know, to see your drive, to see what that life really looks like, because it's not the glitz and glam that we watch on TV all the time. It's hard. It's quite frankly, it's the hardest industry and the hardest career to even get started in. And I interview lots of people in this world, and I am fascinated by just how much drive and ambition that you have when you enter this world. So just to kind of educate the audience, you know, who are you, and what do you do today?
Okay. I'm Aliyah. And I drive a lot. I drove in trucks, you can search that. And I did NASCAR, European NASCAR, and GT4, GT3. And I also do a rally, and I'll be in the Dakar rally next year.
So you're officially in the rally for next year?
Yes, it's all getting prepared now. Coming soon.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
you're following in the footsteps of everybody listening that understands Fernando Alonso did that. And I think that's where that series gained a lot of momentum stateside here. So congratulations.
Thank you. I'm really excited.
So tell me your origin story. Like, where do you come from? Where did this start?
Well, it started from my father. He used to drive in, he was a two-time truck racing champion. But at first I started playing tennis from the age of four for 10 years. And then I got an injury. And then for a few months, I had nothing really. And I was with my father because he's the team boss of Bagheera Racing. So I started going with him around to meetings and I started testing. And then from there, it started to snowball. And I started driving and racing, and I'm very happy that I'm in this path.
So you're playing tennis. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's a massively athletic career choice as well. Mm-hmm. How did, like, your track side with your dad, like, did you just go up to him and be like, can I go take this thing out on the track? Like, how did that start?
Well, since I was a baby, basically, he took us to the races. So I always enjoyed motorsport since a young age. And then once I went with him to one of the testings, and then we said, why not? I will try it because I have an opportunity. And from there, it went pretty good. I didn't do so bad. So then we decided to follow this path.
Did you start in karting?
No, I started directly to a big truck and then I went karting.
So educate the audience here. When you're racing trucks, are you racing like Baja style racing? Is it around a track? Is it like an oval, a road circuit? What?
It's a truck, tracks, your European circuits. You have a like Hungaroring, like you see in Formula One. So those kinds of circuits. So, yeah.
So you're racing an actual, I don't know, call it road track, like concrete track. You're not running around the desert of Dubai and Mexico and.
No, it's like a road truck. It looks similar, but it's completely for racing. So we have the
NASCAR truck series here. So we are actually nearby, is an hour away from my house. We have an oval truck and they do NASCAR trucks. So very, very familiar with that. I never realized that they went around a road track like that as well.
It's a thing. It's fun.
How do you do? Like, how was your season this year?
Well, I did it from 2020 to last year.
So okay.
I did pretty good. French junior champion. Yes, and this year I was focusing on NASCAR and GTs, so I stopped truck racing. So I did it just to get in. I started, but then I stopped.
Okay, now educate the audience on a GT car. What type of car is that?
So I drive the Mercedes AMG GT3 and Mercedes AMG GT4. And yeah, that's about it.
Are you a Mercedes driver? Do they support you?
We have support from Mercedes. We have some support from Mercedes.
Okay, what's your favorite so far?
Sorry?
What's your favorite series so far? You've done quite a bit. You've done quite a bit for your age. Like what?
I get this question a lot. I never have a good one answer. I enjoy each series has its you know, its own goods and bads. So I don't know how to choose one.
I had Tatiana Calderon on the show, you know, and she's driven virtually every type of single seater on planet Earth. And, you know, it was interesting to hear from her because she very much like you was like, yeah, I'm not going to make anybody upset here by favoring one particular sport, but she kind of walked through each series, each type of car and just, you know, this car is really heavy. This car is really light. This car, you know, Formula One brakes really fast. You know, it's just, I think each one is unique and individual. And I think that helps. Again, I go back to people listening, like a young audience, and trying to understand like what is it about a truck or a Euro NASCAR or you know, GT3, GT4, what's the difference between these for you as a driver?
Well, first we'll start with the track, you know, we'll start with the NASCAR. The NASCAR is, compared to the GTs I drive, is a completely no assistance. You don't have your ABS and your traction control. You gotta really rely on the driver. So, that part, it was a really good experience to improve myself as a driver, to really work on my skills. And I think it, then once I go to the GTs, it's less, what's the word? I completely got messed up on my words.
You're good.
But I enjoy the speeds of GTs. I'll say that.
What? So how fast can you take a GT car?
GT3. Oh, I don't remember exactly. I never actually looked down.
I mean, are they 200 mile an hour cars or are they?
200 something.
Really? Mm-hmm. Golly, you guys are fighter pilots. So my son races go-karts, and you know, he was 14 when he started, he's 15 now, and you know, he got his learner's permit, and all of our friends were like, oh my gosh, are you nervous when he drives the car? Are you terrified as a parent sitting in the passenger seat? And I'm like, no. I said, he's been racing go-karts faster than he would take a, you know, my car on the highway, you know. Yeah. And he's taking tight turns, and you know, he's got 30 other carts surrounding him, you know, trying to knock him into a wall or spin him out or whatever. Like, he's never going to encounter that on a road. So,
I mean, I just got my license a few months ago, and I'll say the road is for me sometimes a bit more stressful, more uncomfortable. I mean, because you have all these people, and then it's, oh, the road is more unpredictable for me. Yeah.
Is it okay? So that's a really interesting topic. So do you find that when you are on a track with other drivers, there's a mutual respect and understanding of how your racecraft is? Like, I know that if I take a dive on a turn, that this other car or truck is going to give me space. Whereas when you're on the road, you know, I don't know, the other car, are they on their phone watching Netflix or, you know, texting or paying attention? Do they know what to do? Is that the difference for you?
Well, on the circuit, there should be, usually most of the time, there's the mutual respect. Every now and then you find those people. We're not going to talk about those people. on the road, it's because also there's the people who you just don't know how they got their driver's license. And then they're like this, either distracted from their phone or from something. And they're just, you know, not good drivers. And then you have to always predict what they're doing. And on the road, there's more, it's, for me, is much more chaotic.
I love it. And I understand it too. I, as a 40 something year old, yeah, it's terrifying to me to drive down the highway, look over to the side and see somebody watching a movie on their phone and not the road. So you don't do that in a race car.
Exactly. On the road, I try to be careful and take it easy.
So you come from a family of motorsports. So your dad runs a team. Is this like a whole family thing? Do you have siblings that are in racing too? Is it just you and your parents?
I have a sister who also races. And then my mother, she's not into racing. She's too stressed to watch my races.
Did you grow up trackside all the time?
Not all the time. When I was baby, and then for a while, we were focused on tennis. And then when I was 10 or something, then we came back and was more around the racing, but no, during this time we're more focused on tennis to become professionals, but that didn't really pan out.
What was your injury? What stopped you from?
Knee.
Oh.
Knee, yeah. Bad knees.
Does that affect racing at all?
No. Not in that, some points I have some little, but racing you don't need to run, so unless it's from like an emergency, but most of the time you don't need to run, so I'm good.
You're a glutton for punishment to leave the competitive sport of tennis to a career in racing. Those are two challenging careers. You're not going to be an analyst for a big company.
And no, not anytime soon.
Does your sister race the same types of cars? I mean, are you guys racing each other?
She does accept trucks. She didn't like the trucks or didn't want to do the trucks, but yes, we do the same, should be. But she has an injury, so she doesn't race that much. Or didn't race much this year.
What type of injury puts a driver out of the car?
Wrist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's important.
That's why I'm happy with my bad knees, because that's unfortunate.
Okay, so you're 18, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And you travel the globe to follow your series. Like where have you traveled?
Oh Lord. All around Europe, for rallies, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Dubai. I'm forgetting something, but mostly it's in Europe. The circuit season.
Do you travel with family, or are you on your own?
Mostly with my father, or sometimes okay. Always changes.
Are you guys close?
Yes.
So when my son started karting, actually, he's a lot like you. So he played soccer, you know, not to be a professional, but he just loved the sport. And I grew up playing soccer as well. And, you know, we kind of bonded over that, you know, going to practice every day, tournaments, games, all that stuff, playing outside. And when he stopped, he had broken it. He's broken both ankles playing soccer. And the last one was pretty gnarly for him. And I think he just at that point was like, I'm done. Like, I'm done getting put in a cast for 6 months. I think he needed surgery for the second one. And, you know, we've been Formula One fans for 20 years, and he's never really shown a ton of interest in watching it. And he kind of lives by a philosophy of I'd rather do it than watch it. And my dad actually started taking him to go karting, and he just fell in love with it. And so we're like, okay, what do we do? It's the summer. We got to put him in a camp. He's got to do something. So we put him in a cart, and I would drop him off at the track. He'd stay there all day, and I'd go work from a coffee shop, and I'd pick him up, and he would start talking racing, you know, acceleration, lap times, brake zones, apexes. And he started to kind of speak my language. And so we started really connecting over this. And, you know, immediately, like, he was like, I love this, Dad. I love racing. I don't want to be a professional race car driver. I still want to pursue engineering, but I love this. And we immediately started bonding over that. And then we did a, you know, he raced in a series for a while. Then we did a big karting tournament. And during the tournament, a bunch of dads kept coming over to me because he was competing with the top guys in there. And the dads were telling me all these stories of just how they were bonding with their sons and their daughters. And I just, like, I was floored, because you don't experience that on the soccer pitch. You know, you don't experience that in a lot of other, you know, group sports out here, stateside. And I was blown away. And then we moved him into private karting. And, you know, again, dads kept coming up to me, and they're like, oh my gosh, you have no idea how, you know, your relationship with your son is going to change over this. And I can't imagine if I owned a team, how close my son and I would be, you know, and being able to pursue at that level. But it's neat to see, just how you guys get to travel together, and experience the world.
Yeah, it's great.
Do you, I mean, is your mom there? Does your sister kind of follow around, or is it just the two of you guys jet setting the entire world?
My sister, she comes sometimes, and my mother, she's too stressed to watch any of my racing, so she stays put. But I think it's mostly me and my father who's really close in this.
Yeah. At your level, do you have to have trainers or anyone else involved other than, like, I'm imagining that your dad manages your career along with your publicist, but are there other people involved?
Yes, there is. I have a mentor. He used to also race.
Okay.
He's in the team. He's like a brother for me. So he's one of the best racers I know. So he's an engineer. So he's always teaching me how to drive and all about the mechanics. So he's really the one teaching me about racing. And I do have a trainer. I train also in the 3-2-1 perform, where there's most of the drivers train. So I have some help around.
Is it, I'm trying to figure out how to word this best. Is it as maniacal as the Formula Series when it comes to neck training, diet, hydration, neck strength, Like, is it that intense?
I wouldn't say it's as strict as you would see in Formula One, but I try to keep in the best shape possible.
Is it as driven by, like, so there used to be like weight limits for drivers. So drivers would have to like sacrifice weight in order to, because there was like a car limit and then the driver. And the lighter that the driver was, the lighter the overall car was. The rules have since changed, but, you know, drivers would have to sacrifice muscle strength to be the lightest driver on the team for that extra 10th of a second. Is it just about endurance and strength at your level, or do you have to have a dietitian to like maintain a certain weight level?
No, I try to keep it balanced, really. I don't do like all these to restrict, because the cars I do, I don't think I need to have a serious weight. I mean, I'm not in formulas, so I don't think I need to go like really go down the scales, but I try to keep it balanced and not overdo it. So I try to manage my weight.
Interesting. So your coach and engineer, is the mm-hmm. setup as crazy as single seater open wheel? I mean, does it matter, like suspension settings in a truck?
I'm still not like the most best in this car setup area, but there is a lot of setting up going.
But is it like, you know, I know when my son gets out of the cart, it's like the cart's messed up. You know, I'm not getting my lap time because the setup is bad. I'm like, nope, you just don't have enough experience, you know, and it's all you. Is it the same in truck racing and then in GT? Like, is it heavily weighted to the car, or is it all driver?
No, like we experienced, there's a big part on the car. And we had it a few weeks ago in one of the races where the setup was completely on the opposite direction. We couldn't get the lap time. And then the guys did a lot of work. And by the next day, it improved massively. So yeah, there's a good amount on the car.
Does your coach work with you on communication, like how you communicate the behavior of the car or the truck to get the engineers to understand? I had Kimi Raikkonen's performance coach on yesterday, and he was telling me that, you know, during his McLaren days, that he was taking the car around the track and he came back into the pits and he was like, there's a crack in the chassis. And they're like, no, there's not. You know, we don't see anything on the telemetry. And he's like, no, there's a crack. I feel it. And, you know, and then they take the car apart trying to find this thing. They're like, no, it's just you. And then, you know, he's continues to complain about it. And then they take it back to the factory and they break it down at the factory and scope it out. And there's a crack in the frame. Like, he could feel that going around the track. Do you feel your GT car or your truck in that way?
I think no. I think I still need more experience for that. I've been doing this still for, 3 years? So I think I'll need more experience to feel.
Feel a crack in the engine block. You'll need that.
I can feel a little, but I'm still in the working progress.
What's in your racing career, what's been the most challenging circumstance, event, or thing that you've had to overcome?
In my racing, I can't think of, I can't remember of any, if I had one big challenge. I mean, there's here and there, but I need to think about it. Gonna it's have all, to give me a minute.
It's all easy for you.
I mean, there's moments where it gets difficult, but I can't think of one, you know, defining moment where it felt all bad.
Yeah. Do you, and I'm going to hang out here, and I want you to think about this, because remember, we can edit this. So if it takes you a second to answer it, there's two people that I run into at a track and at racers. And one is, if it's not perfect, they freak out. You know, if they have a bad race, if it's a bad setup, they lose their minds, and, you know, they can't talk to anybody. They can't, you know, smile. They can't do anything. And then there's people that are like, you know, we'll figure it out. It's fine. Like, you know, let's just keep going, keep going, keep going. It's almost like this way that they perceive the world of like, glass is half empty or half full. And when I hear you talking, I feel like what I'm hearing is that you're like a glass half full person. Like, you, like, we can't get the setup, we can't get the lap time right, let's keep plugging away, let's keep communicating, let's keep figuring it out. Is that true?
Yeah, I try to be thinking positive most of the time. I mean, there was a time, times where when the race doesn't go how I want it, then I completely am in the wrong headspace and just lock myself from everybody. So I do get those moments, but I most of the time try to be think positive.
But you don't throw your helmet at the engineer or anything like that?
No, that I don't do.
you seem too cheery to be that person. Like, I, again, the more I keep talking to you, the more I'm like, wow, we need more racers like this that are just kind of like, you know, yeah, I'm driven, I'm going to win, but like, I'm also not going to take myself too seriously and, you know, lash out. I love it. So, okay, here's my next question. And I always ask these questions in every interview because I always find the answers interesting. So in motorsports, what has been your pinch me moment? Like, what in your career of racing, what happened or what took place where you were just like, I can't believe that I'm here right now, or this is amazing. Like, how did I ever get the opportunity to like, to do this, to meet a driver, to race a car, to, you know, whatever that is.
The one moment I remember saying this to myself was the first rally I started. I was just starting and I was like, oh my, I can't believe I'm here racing my first rally. Yeah. So it's mostly when I'm in the car, I can't believe I'm there. It's most, yeah. But the rally, my first rally is the first time I had this, is the one I can remember.
And totally pardon my ignorance here. I'm a formula guy, but like in rally cars, that's the dirt roads where they're like hopping and like people are like 3 feet from the car on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. You do that?
Yeah, I drive a Can-Am.
Oh, you're like my favorite young person now. Like, my son and I watch those videos all the time. Like on YouTube, they have these like videos of just like hopping a jump and like just coming down. And, you know, again, there's like thousands of people just kind of like, you know, watching the thing go right next to him. It's like the most dangerous, crazy racing I've ever seen.
What I've learned, when there is always, I've learned this, people told me, when there's always a group of people, then you need to be careful, because when they're with their phones, there's something dangerous on the track. Which I learned that the hard way, honestly. One, and all of a sudden there was this group of people with their phones ready, and I was okay, this is nice. And then then there was a drop that I completely didn't see, and that's where people are recording. So after that, when you see a group of people, then slow down, because there's danger.
Don't you guys have a navigator in the car with you?
Yeah, but he tells us always where there's the dangers and left and right, but sometimes you don't see, and yeah.
How do you, like, and I'm always fascinated by human performance, and I'm imagining, because I kart with my son too, so like I get the whole concept of racing and whatnot. But when I envision in a rally car, you know, flying through a dirt road in the middle of the woods, or you know, snow and ice, and you have crowds of people around you, like the sheer amount of inputs coming into your mind visually, you know, you're listening to the engine, you're shifting, you're adjusting, you have pedals, you have the steering wheel, you know, you're feeling, you know, the G load, the behaviors or whatnot. And then you have this other human sitting right next to you telling you what to do that may or may not defy all these inputs that you have. Like, you're also driving at like 80 miles an hour. So how do you process all of that when you're like, I don't care what you say versus like, I need that input now? How are you, do you just have to do that over and over and over and over and over and get used to it? Or?
Yeah, well, the first time I had my navigator talking to me, it was really strange because I'm not used to having someone talking to me while I'm driving. So it takes getting used to. So, but so far it's going good. I just have now my next rally next week. So I think it's going to be good.
Are these televised? Like, can people hop on and watch these, or are these more, you know, web streams?
I believe it's you can just see the times.
Okay. Okay.
Even the mechanics there don't really see, they just see the time. So it's, yeah.
Now I can understand why your mom's a wreck.
Yeah. Everyone is just stressing, waiting for us to come back with the car in one piece, looking at the timing screens. So yeah.
Holy cow.
My mother prefers it when I was in tennis.
I bet. How so at your level of rally, how far are you away from, and I couldn't even tell you like the top of the ladder of that system, but how far are you away from like becoming a paid professional driver at rally?
Well, I don't have still much experience in rally. I just did a few this year, last year. So I'm honestly not so sure. But I think I'm pretty okay in rally. I'm so far leading the FA Middle Eastern Championship. So I think I'm doing okay in rally. It's in the right direction, I would say. But I don't know until I'm going to be in that. I don't know where's the, you know, the top.
Can I stop you for a second? Did you just hear yourself? Like, you have no idea what you're doing. You're leading the championship. And you're just like, it's okay. Like, that's like Max being like, you know, I won the race. It's all whatever.
Oh, damn. I mean, that's what it is.
That's why your attitude is so great. I think that you'll go really, really far because, you know, A, look, I'll tell you that motorsports and business is hand in hand, and it's very much the same. And I bet your dad would say the same thing. And I will tell you that, you know, high performance in business is the same as high performance in motorsports. You are pushing the limits of your capabilities, and people that can have fun and, you know, be playful and not take themselves too seriously, not be complacent or lazy, but not take themselves too seriously, go really, really far, because people are drawn to that. You know, in our conversation, the fact that you're like, yeah, I'm winning the championship, it's not a big deal, you know, it's like, it is, you know, and you know, hang your hat on that. But also, like, it's admirable that you know, it's not over yet, you know, and it's exciting and it's fun. Like, all I hear from you as you're talking is how much you're just enjoying yourself. And, you know, it's not about sponsorships and partnerships and, you know, whatever. It just, I applaud you. I think you have the right attitude to go a long way in motorsports. It'll be neat to see you in 10 years when you're used to getting grilled on camera and you have all these prepared corporate answers. And you know, I'll be like, I talked to her early on when, you know, when she was real and she didn't have all these scripts to follow and her publicist wasn't sitting on the call and telling me I can't ask questions or what to say. Like,
oh, that would be funny. Oh yeah, I have time until that happens. I mean, no one has such an opportunity to drive as much as I drive all these rallies and NASCAR and cars, so I'm very happy to be able to drive all these different cars.
How do you get support for that? I mean, obviously, like, you're still very, very early in your career. Are you fully supported by family, by sponsors, partners?
Well, it's mostly all, I get my support from my father.
Uh-huh.
And he's working on he's all focused for driver's development. He has Bagheera Racing and there's Bagheera Academy. So he wants to develop young drivers in all these different, to adapt different cars. So that's his main idea. So yeah, it's my father who's supporting.
So his objective is to kind of do what he's doing with you, with other drivers, which is like to have a multitude of, I don't know, call it series skill sets.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to a number of people, you know, I had Mario Andretti on my show last week, and, you know, he's won in so many different series, and he's driven dirt, you know. He was telling me a story about, you know, doing these like downhill buggies in Italy, you know, on cobblestone roads. There's no engine. It's just like, you know, going downhill and hoping you don't crash or hit somebody that's walking up and down the street. And, you know, I think those skill sets really help develop you, kind of like other sports. Like, if you play four or five different sports, you're a better athlete because you have a diversity of, you know, muscle memory versus like one or two. I think that's a strong philosophy that your father has.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah, we got to get your father on the show too.
Yeah.
I've always say there's two objectives before I die, and one is to be a driver manager and the other is to be a team principal in Formula One, not in any other series. But I think young drivers really need people to kind of like come around them, not just one person, but like a multitude of people, which you have, to come around them and help them from things like, I don't know, you see it all the time in junior formula, they get on Twitch and say stupid things and, you know, get in trouble and, you know, it's not having people around you to say, yeah, don't say those things. You know, you're in the spotlight. Stop it. Or try this, you know, and having people, your life cadence and attitude is really great. What's your goal? Like, as a race car driver, like when you say, when I grow up, I want to do whatever, like what's your ultimate goal in motorsport?
My two ultimate goals is doing the Dakar Rally, which I will do, and to reach the 24 hours of Le Mans is my goal.
Do you have contacts? You want to do it and win. You want to do it and win it, right?
I would like to win it. Yeah.
Okay. So a typical driver for Dakar, like how many times do they do it to win it? Is it an every year thing?
Yes, it's an every year thing. And I don't know how many it takes to win. I think the main goal in Dakar is always to finish first, because it's going to be two long weeks. So very hard week. So the main goal is to finish, and then we'll see. And then we'll see the results.
And I don't want to get too far in the weeds here, but for listeners, like what is the Dakar Rally?
Okay, the Dakar Rally is the hardest rally in the world, I would say. It's 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks. The rally is 2 weeks, more or less. And it's in the Saudi Arabia next year. And it's pretty brutal. I was there to watch the last two, three. And it's hardcore. The mechanics, sometimes they don't sleep at night. Or the drivers, they come back in the middle of the night. And then it's hard. And I'm so excited.
As you laugh. So 2 weeks. It's not 24 hours a day of racing, is it? Like, do you have, like, is it kind of like the Tour de France, where you have sections that you have to accomplish each day?
Yes. So there's every day a stage, and you have a few hundred kilometers in the stage. You have the liaison pronunciation. And then there's, you drive through the day, you follow the road book, the map, and you try and make it back in one piece, back to the team, where the team goes to the next bivouac where they set up and wait for the, I'm explaining this so bad. So
you're good.
People should probably search this in case, because I'm so bad at explaining. Oh, damn.
It makes perfect sense to me. I just, so you're aware, when people don't know about something, to have an explanation like that is way easier to digest than when you assume everybody knows exactly what it is. Like, you,
yeah.
It also, you're also showcasing the difficulty of it. I think, you know, if you think of like a 100-kilometer race, if it's, you know, 14 days of straight 100, then we start connecting that to things like the Tour de France, and thinking of like, well, how do you, you know, are you racing other cars, or is it like one at a time and it's the best time, or are you actually wheel to wheel racing?
It's mostly against time. So the overall time together after the 14 days. But then I see, when you get close, there is some racing. I had it with wasn't the Dakar Rally, but I had a rally in the beginning of the year, and I was racing against my sister, who also did rally. And it's usually racing against the time, but we managed to get close to each other, so we were fighting in the desert, like, so it was really fun. But the idea was to time. Beat the time.
Do you fight like sisters? I mean, do you knock her off the road or like? I mean, I've seen my kids go at it occasionally, and the rules don't apply. Do you?
No, we race like normal. There's no extra pushing because in the end we could both lose, and we're trying to, you know, we try not to do anything stupid.
Are you doing anything for the Le Mans? Like, how do you track towards that?
Well, next year we're gonna be doing some 24-hour series, and the road is still being made. And after that, we're gonna see the next steps.
Is that something that you have to bring a team to the race? Do you have to win something to get to that level, or is it just about having the right partners and sponsor to get a seat?
I'm not sure how it is on which team or which car even, so we still have a long way to go until I still don't know exactly it's in the process, but I can't, it's a lot, and it's too complicated to remember.
I mean, is it like 5 years away that you could do that, or could you could you do that next year? I mean, how?
For sure, not next year, but the goal is maybe the year after, but I have no full idea. I don't know exactly yet.
I love that you don't feel you don't look like you feel pressure at all. Like, is this why you're a winner? Like, do you just have you heard the story of Cristiano Ronaldo? Like, I've heard stories where they've actually tracked his like stress inputs. Mm-hmm. And the difference between him sitting in a chair and then like lining up for a penalty kick at the World Cup final, his stressors don't change at all. Like, do you feel stress?
I do get stress, and I get stress like from the most unimportant things, funny enough. Like, so I don't know. It's, yeah, I have a pretty good support system.
You are gonna win these races, okay? Like, I'm predicting it now that you're going to win the Dakar, you're gonna win the 24 hour, and like, I don't know if it'll be next year or 10 years from now, like, you just have a winning personality. And I know this is always uncomfortable to get on a podcast and like talk to a computer, but like you're doing really good. And, you know, just your personality is that of, to me, of a champion, not so much like just your lighthearted laughter, but like also you don't feel stress. It's not everyone can sit on here and talk on a podcast. So like, just so you know, this is not easy for anyone, and you're doing it and having fun. And like, I just can imagine, you know, when you get to the highest levels of motorsport, like I can, you know, you watch Drive to Survive, you watch any of this stuff, you can feel the amount of pressure. And I've blogged about this quite a bit, about the difference between winners and everybody else is their ability to cope with pressure. And that is, do you feel pressure? And like, if you think about equal pressure coming down on something, if there's not just kind of balance around that object, you know, it pops out, you know, and like you lash out, you throw your helmet at somebody, you throw a stapler at somebody, whatever it is. But if you can maintain that pressure, no matter how hard it gets, you know, and keep it in here, you're rock solid. And I'm watching you. It's not easy what you're doing. And I know this is like your first actual podcast, but like managing stress at that level is really, really difficult. And you do it so well right now. Like you, again, yeah, I'm winning the championship, man. It's cool. You know, not big deal. Oh, my lifelong ambition is to run in the Dakar, and I'm doing it next year. You know, like that is going to take you so far in life. I hope this is not flattery. Like, I don't need to say any of this stuff, but like, I truly believe that, you know, you are capable of great things because you handle stress well. You're fun. You know, you got your dad. Like, I'm a dad. There's nothing that can affect my daughter. You know, like, I will never let anything, you know, stand between her and her dreams. So like, I applaud the two of you, and you know, and your ability to not take your sister out. That your dad's also doing good there and teaching that, because Aaliyah, seriously, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me again.
I know that it's hard to come and talk like that. I at your age, I wouldn't have been able to do it. I've just done 1,000 conference calls and presentations in my career, and it just makes it easy and whatnot. But you did really, really well, and so thankful to have you. And I love the fact that it's so different. You're so different than the typical guests that we have, meaning in a totally different kind of skill set of series, but you're so much the same as, you know, Tatiana. I've had Abby Eaton on the show, and you just have that same kind of like competitor warrior spirit. And you also laugh and have fun, which is also impressive. But there's so many tie-ins to Formula with the Dakar rally. I mean, that's been all over the news, you know, with Fernando Alonso. So I know the audience will have a familiarity with it. And the 24-hour Le Mans, everybody knows what that is. And so I'm going to have you on the show again. For sure. You know, you can tell us all about the Dakar rally and
at some point.
And the 24-hour, and you can fill us in on all that stuff, and we can watch you turn into a professional driver with a huge name, and you know, get your dad on the show sometime. So again, I want to respect your time. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
You did awesome. You did awesome. We're all going to follow you now.